Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. The Packers are in the throes of the offseason. We will hear from Jordan Love tomorrow afternoon for the first time as QB1, talking to the assembled media there in Green Bay at 1265 Lombardi. This will happen around 1:30 Eastern, 12:30 Central. We'll also hear from Kenny Clark and Aaron Jones, but of course, the headline. Jordan Love speaks for the first time as QB1. A lot has been talked about. We've heard a lot about Jordan Love throughout the entirety of the process of the trading of Aaron Rodgers. It'll be awfully nice to hear from the man himself. I have no doubt Jordan will be peppered with questions about how he handled things. And I think everything he has not said, every move he has not made, every silence, so to speak, that has come from Jordan Love and his camp speaks volumes. I think he's handled this extremely well, and I'm fascinated to see what he shares with the public tomorrow afternoon. But right now, I wanted to talk about Lucas Van Ness, the Packers' first-round pick, 13th overall, stud out of Iowa. Yeah, you can call him a linebacker. You can say he's a defensive lineman. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. I'm calling him a pass rushing weapon. His tape is so exciting and special and unique in the sense that if you go back and you watch him through his entirety of his college career, you really see a kid who obviously is still growing, still developing. He's still very young, but man, he can play up and down the defensive front. And I suspect he will do so in Green Bay. You heard Brian Gutekunst mention that in the draft presser the night that Lucas was drafted. It's not so much that, okay, he can kick inside on passing downs, which is, of course, something that we've seen in Green Bay in years past. Most recently, of course, Za'Darius Smith did so under Mike Pettine. And I do think we'll see that with Van Ness. But I'm sitting here telling you that that's not just going to be limited to passing downs. I think they're going to experiment with him up and down the front on every down. And I don't doubt for a moment that he is going to take to that idea. And I think he's going to make opponents' life a living hell. I don't sit here and say this lightly. You guys know I don't pump kids up. I don't get too far ahead of over my skis, so to speak, when it comes to these young draft prospects. But given his projection, where you kind of see him going as a physical specimen, coupled with working with guys like Preston Smith and Kenny Clark and being able to play the games and the stunts with them, I don't think he's going to be limited. I don't see a guy who's going to have to be brought along like Rashawn Gary was. And this is no knock on Rashawn. It's not a slight in any way, shape, or form. But I don't see a guy who, and of course, some of that is going to be, you know, predictably driven by circumstance because they are waiting for Rashawn to get back from that knee injury he suffered in Detroit last year. But even if Rashawn was around and ready to go week one, I think Lucas is going to be on the field early and often. And I don't doubt for a moment that he is going to be a disruptive force. I'm not going to say he's going to sit here and get 10 sacks his rookie year or something like that, but I think he's going to be very active. And I don't doubt for a moment he is not only going to, you know, produce as far as some tackle numbers, tackle for loss, quarterback sacks, hits, pressures, what have you. But I think he is going to help everyone around him. I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, clearly Jerry Montgomery, those guys up front, the coaching staff, Joe Barry, et cetera, they're going to be drawing up a lot of different ways to try and get this kid one-on-one on the edge. Because I do think he is going to be a handful for most offensive tackles in the league. And that's not to say that, you know, he's just going to come in and bowl these guys over. I don't think that's going to happen. But the talk about the raw clay and the physical traits, and again, so young, still developing, and an ability to work with his teammates in this scheme and really kind of wreak havoc. You know, I don't get too excited about rookies too early on, but Lucas Van Ness is a weapon, and he's going to be a problem for people up front. I think, again, he's going to play early and often. I'm not going to pencil him in as a day one starter, although I think he very much could be. And I think he very much probably will make that case in camp, but we got to see it happen in camp before we go there. the man, I'm telling you, he is going to play and he is going to make a difference. That is what I'm telling you right here today on May 9th. Bookmark it, clip it, get it ready for social media when the season starts. Throw it back in my face if I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody in the comment section. Stu is here. What's up, man? Brandy, of course, Brandy's here. How are you doing, Brandy? Dennis is here. What's up, Dennis? Amy, hi. Thanks for joining us. Ryan, thanks for the super chat. Is it safe to say R? Ryan, that really depends on what the end of that word is. There are a few R words I don't allow on the chat, but if you're talking about rebuilding, check out the video yesterday. You can, I don't care what you call it. Just call them the Green Bay Packers. Lee 86, does LVN equal Aaron Kampman 2.0? Or yeah, I think he's going to be way more versatile than Kampman was. And I think Kampman was a really good player. Again, not taking anything away from Aaron Kampman. I think Lucas Van Ness is going to be a lot better. I think he's going to be a lot more versatile. He's going to be able to be used in a lot of different ways. Where Kampman was pretty strictly a 4-3 D end. Something which obviously Kampman that LVN is coming from. He was a 4-3 D end, transitioning to an outside backer role in the 3-4. But yeah, no, he is going to be, I think, pretty damn special. And a little bit, if not a lot, better than Aaron Kampman. Eric, who do I think the Packers open up versus in week one? That's a good question. Probably a divisional foe. Probably the Lions would be my guess. You know, get that rematch going right away. That's a game that I think a lot of people in those fan bases are looking forward to. Perhaps maybe not the NFL world at large, but I'm sure Lions and Packers fans would like to get that off right off the bat, so to speak. So that's my guess. We'll see. Now, I don't think it's going to be a prime time game or anything like that, but that would be my guess for their opener. Do the Packers consider Ariza for punter? No, Matt. I would be very shocked if they did. Mimsy, thanks to Super Chat. No excuses theme for the Packers fence, please. Oh, I love it, Mimsy. I love it. I don't mind the idea of pitching an idea for the fence. However, the artists that do the fence, one of whom did the background you see here, they come up with their own stuff every year, and I would never kind of impose on them in that regard. They come up with their own stuff, and we're very happy to feature it and kind of promote it on Cheesehead TV. But that's a really good idea. I like it. Quinn, thanks for the super chat. Nags, excited for Carl Brooks. Seems underrated. I tell you what, I was just talking to someone with the Packers a couple days ago about how fun his tape is. Yeah, I mean, underrated, you know, as a day three guy, you're not, I don't think being underrated is part of the gig, right? But yes, I think he can be very exciting. You do wonder about his ability to hold up against NFL talent along the interior. But man, some quick first step action there, some definite pass rush ability. I'm excited to see where he lands and how kind of early he can make a mark. It's a tough gig along that defensive front, defensive line in particular. If you're a young guy coming into the league, trying to make your kind of bones, so to speak, along the interior, that's a battle. So I'm really with you as far as the excitement level, as far as looking at his tape and thinking they could have something there. But that's a guy I think we're going to have to definitely watch through camp and see how he improves day to day. The possibility of those NFL guys getting their hands on him and giving him a welcome to the NFL rookie kind of month in training camp is very real. Brooks tested like a hippo was one of my favorite takes so far. That's pretty good, Kyle. Larry says, tight ends usually take 2 years. Can our two draft picks contribute much this season? I think they can simply because they'll be given a lot more opportunity than most rookie tight ends are. The turning of the page, so to speak, the reset on offense in particular, is going to force a lot of these guys onto the field way more than probably their rookie counterparts will see throughout the NFL. Now, that said, I still think the learning curve is pretty steep, right? And I don't doubt for a moment they'll take their lumps and they're going to have their kind of tough moments. And yeah, it's probably going to take a while. I don't expect either one to hit the ground running and, you know, arrive on the scene, so to speak, in the first month of the season. But because of the fact that they are going to be counted on early and often, they are going to get ample opportunities. I think that might accelerate their learning curve a little bit. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if Josiah DeGuara, Tyler Davis, some of these guys that most Packers fans have probably already forgotten about because of the excitement around the draft, they're going to carry a large part of the load early, only because they've done it. They know the system. They've been in the league. They know what's expected. They know what to do. They know every check and every kind of nuance of the offense that these young guys are going to be learning along as they go, right? That said, they're two pretty damn impressive athletes. And I don't doubt for a moment that that athleticism and that upside will peek through from time to time, and we'll see some green shoots, as Corey likes to say. But yeah, I don't think anyone should be under any illusions that they're going to come in and be like, you know, Gronk and Hernandez with the Patriots back in the day right off the bat, because that's just not going to happen. DeGuara ain't a scrub. That's right, Adam. I very much agree. And that's the thing. If you go back and you watch DeGuara's tape from last year, from the Buffalo Bills game on, he played really well, especially in the running game, especially his blocking. And that's why I think, you know, people are like, oh, he's just an H-back. And yeah, he's primarily an H-back, and that is his role. I wouldn't doubt for a moment if they kind of utilized him a little bit more in the running game. I don't think it's going to be his forte or anything like that. But I think he'll play a little bit more than people expect and a little bit better than people expect at this point. Do I think Rodgers' unwillingness to rely on younger guys was a detriment to their careers, or would they have fared the same in another system with another QB? It's always a tough one, Brian. I don't doubt for a moment that it was tough on some younger guys more than others. But I do think some of that is the crucible, right? Some of that is who sinks, who swims, who's able to rise to that challenge. And for whatever reason, Rodgers took, you know, a shine or connected with some guys more than others. And yeah, maybe that was to their detriment career-wise, right? How would they have fared someplace else? You never can never really say, although I'll always find it hilarious that, you know, Amari Rodgers couldn't get a sniff while Rodgers was QB in Green Bay when it came to working from scrimmage, and then literally gets cut and gets picked up by the Texans and scores a touchdown the next week. But that's, you know, anecdotal nonsense. As far as like, would any of these pantheon of younger guys been more productive or better players earlier in another system with another quarterback? That's the great what if. I mean, and that's kind of the dirty secret about the draft, right? We talk about the draft so much for so long, but really it comes down to situation, teammate fit, scheme fit, things of that nature that you can't know until the draft happens, you know? So it's a major component, but it's also a great unknown. You know, all you can kind of really hang your hat on is what they do in the situation that they're given. Abdul, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, what's Barry's fascination with two down linemen? Is the thinking to put more cornerback / safety and therefore faster players? I mean, somewhat, that's league-wide. That's not just Joe Barry. Lots of teams use two down linemen as their base at this point. Nickel is base in the modern NFL. And much of that, yes, is about the kind of twofold, right? Is there has been such a widespread use of spread formations on offense, although the NFL is cyclical, and a lot of that is kind of starting to turn around as far as you see a lot more teams using maybe not more power and more like kind of heavy formations, but you do see a lot more condensed formations where you're bringing the wide receivers and the tight ends and keeping them closer inside rather than spreading out that formation. But to that end, yeah, you're putting more athletes on the field and the defense is countering with more corners and safeties to keep up. I mean, essentially, right? So yeah, that's not a Barry phenomenon. My frustration has been, and it certainly was last year, is if a team is running on you successfully over and over and over again, i.e. see the Eagles game, and you are playing your base down two defensive linemen and you're not stopping them in any way, shape, or form, at least try a little something different. And I know there are certainly times when Barry has employed three-man lines, and I'm not saying he never does, etc. But who, baby? Yeah, if you're not succeeding, maybe try a different approach. That's the frustration there. But yeah, no, it's not, again, it's not a strictly Barry phenomenon. It is very NFL-centric. Ryan, thanks for the super chat. I meant to say, do you think that Rodgers' competitive hole is now satiated? That's well stated. Well stated. One of those defensive linemen is Lowry not in his prime. Ugh. Yeah, Brandy, that's one of the things. Like, look, you can talk about Joe Barry and it's frustrating, what have you, but some of that is about Joe Montgomery, too. Oh, sorry, Jerry Montgomery, the defensive line coach, because he basically sets the pattern of substitution, right? And if Dean Lowry is being trotted out there game after game after game, while a young first-round pick in Devontae Wyatt can't sniff the field, and then gets on the field and plays pretty darn well only because Dean Lowry is hurt, well, then you have to turn around and say, Jerry, what the hell, man? I mean, at some point, you know, you got to let these kids play, especially if the guys in front of them are not holding it down. That was the big frustration last year. It's like, okay, you really want to play two defensive linemen, but one of your linemen is consistently on the ground, especially on first down running plays. Like, come on. At least give the kid a chance. You guys are trying to get me going today. Abdul, thanks for the super chat. Sorry if this was asked. It has not been, actually. Any interest in Foles? Yeah, I saw he got cut. I doubt it, but never say never. I could see the Packers making that call, perhaps if they get through, say, minicamp, right? And they look at what's on offer, specifically their draft pick, and think, yikes. Then they make that call. But I think they'll go through the offseason program first before they make that determination. I could see the, you know, kind of, I want to say fascination, but I could see the idea behind, okay, let's get a vet in here, a guy who has played on the biggest stage in the world, knows everything there is to know about the league, have him in the room with Jordan, right? I get that kind of idea, and I get the upside there. But as I've said all offseason, I also really like the idea of developing the position, developing young guys at the position behind your young quarterback. So we'll see which route they go, but I would tend to doubt it, but never say never. Have we reached the date where bona fide can't miss draft studs become green as grass rookies? No, Aaron, no. That happens when the pads come on. My favorite time of the year. No doubt about it. Do we think they will give a team two Thursday night football games? John, it's possible. The main issue for Thursday nights this year is that they can be flexed. That's not official yet, but the owners have another meeting at the end of May, and I fully expect them to make the Thursday night games completely flexible at the end of the year, weeks 14 through 18 or 17. And that's going to be a nightmare for any fan that has tickets for a game that was supposed to be on a Sunday, and then they get a 30-day notice, or no, I'm sorry, a 15-day notice that, oh, by the way, now that game is on the Thursday of that week rather than the Sunday. Nightmare city. Also, Monday night's going to be able to be, that's in. Monday night's can be flexed as well. Whole lot of people paying a whole lot of money to be extras in the NFL's television programming. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mimsy, thanks to Super Chat. Safe to expect Jones to break last year's career high. Safe to expect Jones to break last year's career high. Yes. Kyle, thanks to Super Chat. Thank you for all you do, Nags and crew. Look forward to the show daily. Go Pack Go. Thank you, Kyle. That's really nice of you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, man. Kobe, thanks to the Super Chat. Rodgers once described his final days in Green Bay as a beautiful mystery. Looks like the same applies to Jordan Love. Can't wait for the next chapter. Go Pack Go. I mean, really is. I mean, you talk about what to expect from Jordan Love, and that's something I get asked almost every day here on Packers Daily. I mean, really, you don't know. And that's kind of great. I kind of love it. The unknown. Let's go. Yeah, man. I'm with you. Will Carroll, what's up? Thanks for checking out the stream, man. Appreciate it. Uh, 13-0 record when the team rushes for 2+ touchdowns in a game. Think Jordan's first year, we stay with our running game. Timmy, from your Facebook comment to the football god's ears. I'd love it. We'll see. All I'm asking is for Aaron Jones to get more than 2 carries inside the 5-yard line this year. I'm a simple man. Aaron Jones has a nose for the end zone. Let him use it. Let him sniff. Love at Oppressor is QB1. Let's go. That's right, Brandy. Tomorrow, 12:30 Central, 1:30 Eastern. Jordan Love. addresses the media as quarterback one for the first time with the Green Bay Packers. That's going to be some exciting stuff. I'm pumped for it. I mean, I feel like we should tailgate for the Jordan Love press conference. That needs to happen. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Carry the G Club members here on YouTube, Patreon members. I will see you at the happy hour at 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central, here in about 40 minutes. Looking forward to that. The rest of you, please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.